Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Conversations with Ricky, and this episode is going to be super, super amazing. I'm talking to someone that's inspiring, you know, doing amazing things, actually. I think everyone is inspiring, so yeah. It can be a compliment or not.
Okay.
But I meant it as a compliment. So today I'm talking to Tolu, who is the founder of Roots Brand, which is a lifestyle brand that, you know, connects people, creates experiences, and connects them to their roots, right? Nigerian roots,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she's also the creator of Nolly Trivia, Couple Games. I think she does merch as well. And more recently, cards.
Greeting cards.
Greeting cards, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'll let you introduce yourself.
Okay. Hey, guys. My name is Tolu. Like she said, I'm the founder of Roots. That sounds way more
serious. This is the first time you said it, right?
Well, I have been, like, sometimes when I get, like, brand partnership emails or, like, some things like that, which aren't so often, but I have used that. But anytime I use that, I'm like, that sounds serious. But yeah, I am the founder of Roots. I am an MBA candidate. And, yeah, I'm happy to be here. Yeah.
Okay, so you're taking the business to the next level.
Amen.
All right. So, but tell us, so when, before we started this, this episode, I was asking you about, like, cause if you guys don't know what we're talking about Roots Brand, we're talking about the journey, we're talking about what's more, you know, being a founder at such a young age as well. But then we're also talking about Nollywood, which is something I really like. I like Nollywood a lot. And anyone that likes Nollywood also has issues with Nollywood.
Right.
So we're talking about Nollywood. But, you know, Nolly Trivia, which is the game that you created, is sort of based on Nollywood, right?
Yes.
And so I had thought that, okay, maybe when we speak, it's really going to be about Nollywood. But you're interested in a lot of things.
Definitely.
So tell us some of the things that you're actually interested in or that you, you know, you do on the side or...
Do you mean like business wise or like personally,
I mean,
right?
Yeah, personally, we'll get to the business wise later on.
I like to write. I like to read. I write a lot of fiction. Would it ever go out? I don't know, but I like to read also. I love Nigerian authors, African authors in general.
Who's your best?
Chimamanda, of course.
Isn't that so obvious?
Like, of course.
What is it about her that you like?
Well, I guess Americana, really, I really love that story. Even though Purple Hibiscus is my best story of hers, but I really like Americana. I'm not sure why exactly. Maybe because it's an immigrant story or the love story in there. I don't know. I just love that book so much. But Purple Hibiscus was definitely written, like, to me, way more beautifully. And it's just a complete book. It's really nice.
I think I have a complex relationship with Purple Hibiscus because I read it at such a young age. Like, I literally read it when it first came out, and I must have been maybe 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I really understood what was going on. Because I was reading it, and it would talk about how the dad treated the mom. But I remember it was one day I was in my apartment, like, maybe, like, 3 years ago, and I was just, like, cleaning or doing something. And it hit me, like, that was domestic violence that she was writing about.
Definitely.
But she wrote it, but what's so amazing about the way that was written is that she wrote it from the innocence of a child.
Yes.
So, like, a child sees, like, daddy strangling mommy and just sees it as an event. Doesn't think deeply, doesn't harbor those, you know, thoughts and the hatred and all the... Like, the child hasn't grown to process it yet. And so reading it as a child, I didn't understand the book until, like, recently when I read it again.
Okay, nice. Because I was just about to suggest that you do read it again.
Yeah.
Because I read it recently, maybe, like, 2 years ago. I think I tried reading it in Brookstone, which was our high school. But I didn't really get it. So I tried it again 2 years ago, and I just really liked it. Mm-hmm. But I preferred reading... I just like the story of Americana better, I'd say.
Yeah, well, I think so too.
Yeah.
I think one thing I really like about Chimamanda, I mean, she's always been so inspiring to me and amazing, is that she's not afraid to go there. with her characters. Like, a lot of her characters think things that we think but are too afraid to
say out. Yes.
And in fact, the way that some of her characters are, I think, is just... Because I've written a little, and sometimes when I write and I send to my friends, they're like, is this you? You know, so there's sort of like a vulnerability that comes with writing where you feel naked. Like, you feel like they can see your inner thought because you're the one writing it, right? So you can't lie that you saw it somewhere. Even if you do, it still came from inside of you.
From here.
Yeah. And a writer who I really love, Diana Gabaldon, she said, I'm all of my characters, and all of my characters are part of me. So even the one that's a rapist, the one that is, because she has some really horrible characters in her book, and she has some really great characters. And she's like, I borrow from parts of me to write for each person because I can only write my experiences. Like, I can only write the things I know and add, you know, creativity.
Right.
But yeah, back to Chimamanda. I feel like what I really love about her writing is the conversations. Like, she has conversations that are real.
Very real. Mm-hmm.
And that's just so rare. Like, she has conversations that you would be a part of. The jokes in between Ifemelu and Obinze. That feels like a real relationship, friendship, as opposed to the nonsense we see in other books and stories. You know? It feels like they were friends. It feels like they were cool, you know, even calling him silly, like. And then having us really go on this roller coaster ride when she's back in Lagos with him, where he's actually committing adultery, but we're enjoying it.
Exactly.
I love Chimamanda. I love her writing. But yeah, so you like reading books. What else?
Yeah, I like writing. I like singing. Not sure if I can do it so well, but
I never knew you could sing.
I think I've always known I could kind of sing because I'm like, I wouldn't sit here and say, oh, I'm a great singer.
Yeah, but you can hold a note.
I definitely can hold a note. So I sing in the choir. I sing everywhere, really. I'm always singing. I'm always singing.
Do you play any instruments?
No. Mm. At least not yet.
Did you ever play violin in primary school?
Yes, I did.
You did? Were you good?
No, I don't think so. Oh, okay. I don't think so. I mean,
a part of me wishes I had continued after primary school. Because I love music. Like, music is my music is my happy place. Like, music is such a strong influence in my life. Even when it comes to prayer, when it comes to, like, I can listen to a song and it can take me to a place. Like, I remember it's not funny, but I hate when people say something, let me say something funny, and then it's actually not funny. Funny story. Yeah, I was like, this is about to not be funny. But something interesting, when Wizkid's album came out, there's this, I think it was Ayo?
Okay, yeah, I think so.
Is there an album called Ayo?
Yes.
I'm thinking because when he came out with that album, I was in school then. I was at Penn State, and it was the spring, and it was so cold. And I remember that I would listen to that album for hours studying calculus, and I always drank this French vanilla cappuccino almost every night listening to that album. Now, whenever I hear any song from that album, like, just by mistake, I can still smell the French vanilla cappuccino.
Wow.
I know. Nice. So music has such, like, strong, it elicits strong emotions in me. But yeah, so you sing, okay?
Mm-hmm. That pretty much sums me up. Singing, writing, reading, trying out different businesses in my spare time.
How many businesses have you tried out? Let's talk about that.
Okay, I've sold wigs for a while, braid wigs. I used to do that, I think, in 2015, 2016.
So you make hair as well?
No, these were gotten from Nigeria.
Okay.
Yes. So I have done that. I have made food for a while. Well, I've sold food for a while.
Now, I'm curious, what happened to the braid wigs? Like, did people just stop liking braid wigs, or did you lose interest, or did you just...
I think I just got busy with school because, yeah, I think I just lost interest at some point. But I'm always that person. Like, anytime I see an opportunity, I'm like, okay, let's go. And then after a while.
Were you always like that?
No. I guess being in the U.S. and, well, I would say adulting happened to me. That's true. So that made me figure out that side of myself.
And then food.
I recently just stopped. I think it was just last year that I stopped.
How long did you do it for?
About 2 years, not that long.
That's a long time.
It was good while it lasted, and it's on and off, but yeah.
So how were you able to break up with your customers? Because that can be easy.
Just simple. Just all at once.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Do you still get calls?
Sometimes.
But then you say no.
Yes, exactly.
But what happened?
Cooking is stressful, Ricky.
I mean, it's so stressful.
I mean, yes, but like, oh my Lord. Like, meeting up with timelines, taste of food. Like, sometimes someone wants it spicy, sometimes not too spicy, all on the same day. Mm-hmm. Figuring out a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was too much for me. So, I'm like, yeah. It's okay. It's time to quit. And maybe I could start again and have better systems in place to help me. But for now,
would you have a restaurant?
Honestly, that's one of my dreams at the back of my head. I have a lot of dreams.
It's okay. And you can absolutely do all of them. Or most of them. Or a good number of them, at least.
So, yeah, I do. Yeah, but... Am I actively pursuing that? No, but if it does happen, sure. But I'm not actively pursuing that, yeah. So
I see. I mean, so have you, I think I spoke to you and you said you hadn't been to Nigeria in a while. Because I was thinking about, like, you know, Nigerian food and just taking it to the next level. I feel like there was that sort of time on TikTok when, you know, pounded yam and egusi soup blew up, but I don't know. I've not heard any chatter again about Nigerian food. So, do you know Chef Eros?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, he's like a Nigerian chef. He recently opened a restaurant in LA. He opened like a reservation only fine dining restaurant with Nigerian food. Yeah, talking about, you know, like telling stories with the food. So I'm like.
Oh, nice.
I hope it works out for him, because...
Yeah. I do hope so, too. All
right. So you sold wigs, you did food.
My sister and I started a fashion business, too, recently, last year.
I remember that. And she sold so well.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Is she like, going along that line?
Yeah, but she's also a techist or a tech bro, like I like to call her.
Oh, that's true. So tech babe.
She's really trying to pursue that first, but yeah, she's great at what she does.
Interesting.
And when she figures out how to restructure, we'll be back with that, I'm sure.
I mean, I know this is unfair to say, and, you know, with everything that happened with COVID, but I sort of miss the creativity that sparked up during the pandemic. I think people were less worried. Now people are just like, we've had different phases. So we had the phase of people cooking, trying different recipes, gardening, suddenly when people could travel, everybody was traveling, and there's still a lot of like traveling going on. But I really miss like I think my podcast started in the pandemic, I think. It started during the pandemic, funny enough. Because we all had time to sort of slow down. And pause and actually think about, oh, what do we really want to do? And I'm sure that businesses, like, during that time doubled because people actually found their passion. So I wish we had, like, just more of that sort of time, but not necessarily all the whole lockdowns and COVID and all that was happening. But, yeah. And then clothes, what else?
That's it, actually.
That's good.
That's it.
I've never done a business in my life.
Why?
Because That's a deep question. I'm not used to people asking me questions. I'm not used to people asking me questions on the podcast, but I'll say that what I just never thought about myself as a business person. My mom is a business person. My mom has done every kind of business that there is. She's done a lot of businesses. She's a businesswoman. She owns a school, so she's very much into business. My dad, on the other hand, is not a business person. He's like a career person, goes to work, gets paid. And I actually kind of admired that because I saw the stability
that brings. Definitely.
Yeah, so there was always money, there was always, provision because it was stable, it was predictable. Yeah. Whereas my mom could like make so much at one go and then maybe nothing for a little bit and then make some so I was like, this feels more stable, this feels more secure. And then so going to school, you always heard that, oh, if I go to school, if I do well, when I come out, I'll get a good job, I'll buy a car, I'll get married, I'll have kids. So that sort of seemed more appealing. So in all of this, I never just did business. And I think a part of me also felt like I'm not a business person. I tell myself that I'm not business minded, even though that's not true. I think that what it really boils down to is that I'm not really motivated by money.
True. Okay.
Like, I'm not like, oh man, I can make money from this, so I want to do it. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I love things that I'm passionate about, things that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. So I think even with business now, I have a few business ideas that I want to do, but I'm thinking of, okay, service that I can render. And then I feel like money always follows, money always follows the solution. Yeah. But I'm more open to it. I think for a long time I just told myself I'm not good at business. I was never the person to sell things or to try to make a quick buck off something. No, I never did that. I never did that. But kudos to all those people that did that. Like, even you too. Like, seeing an opportunity and like, oh, yo, I know someone that, like, I would rather advise people to do it than actually do it myself.
Yeah.
Because I just felt like my path, was in somewhere other than business. But I think I'm ready for business now.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's talk about your game, Nolly Trivia, and how it all started. So, because this brand is big, like, from everything that I've like spoken to you about, everything that I've seen, really, is like, it's going to keep growing. Because it seems to me like this portal, like, where you can channel so many ideas through. So how did it actually start, and when did it start?
Like we talked about it, it came 2020 during COVID. So I have always had the desire, I would say, to create something Nollywood related. So that has always been something on my prayer list, on my to-do list. It's been because I really loved Nollywood. I remember being a child, like 4 years old, 5 years old, like honestly, as early as four, I'll beg my mom to watch like any Nollywood movie.
I wasn't allowed to watch Nigerian movies.
I was not either. I would beg. I would beg. I would cry. I would try and act. I would try and dance. I don't know. I thought I was really geared towards like showbiz and maybe film and all of that. But honestly, right now, no. But I really love Nollywood. Not sure why, but I've always loved Nollywood. So getting into secondary school, I still had that on my list, like maybe I'll write one day for Nollywood, maybe I'll produce anything really. Right. But it's not at the forefront of my mind like all the time, or at that point it wasn't, but it was just something I had at the back of my mind.
Right.
And then I guess that time of isolation in COVID really forced my mental bandwidth to grow. Mm-hmm. And I started praying about it more, thinking about it more. And like I said, I saw in a dream exactly how it looks right now. Not the questions or anything, just the concept. concept package.
And did you see the name too? Like,
a general bit. Yes, everything about it. Color, everything.
Do you usually see things in your dreams? Like,
I wouldn't say like a lot, okay. But yeah, but I also tend to take my dreams quite seriously. Interesting. So I did see that, and once I saw that, like the next morning, I told my sister. I think I told my mom, told my best friend, and I started writing. And a year later, I think June 2021, it came out.
It took a whole year.
Well, creating it took a couple months. Finding who would make it, like the manufacturer and all of that, took a while. Tried different countries, Nigeria, US, China, and it, like, ended up with China.
It's made in China?
Yeah, it's made in China.
Wow. Yeah. So... interesting. That's okay. I'm curious about this now. So when you first started writing it, so what's Nolly Trivia basically? How is the game played?
It's a card game.
Are we going to be able to play some?
Yes, definitely.
Okay,
definitely.
So how's the game played? Yeah.
It's a card game with 2+ players, and it has questions about Nollywood movies, TV shows, actors, and basically any Nollywood fact, I would say. So it's a good blend of all of those. And if you have any friends that like Nollywood or any friends that know anything about Nollywood, it flows well. And I think it's a great game.
Okay. So did you try it out on a bunch of people before you sent it down?
Yes. So I had like a bank of a lot of questions. So it ended up being 100 questions at the end. I had a bank before we chose those 100.
Oh, okay. So let me ask you one question about Nollywood. What was the... So did you have to do a lot of research for this?
Oh, of course. Okay. That's why it took months and late nights and a lot. Because, in all the questions, I have some facts about movies, like who wrote these movies, what years and stuff. So all of those...
That's very detailed. It had to be accurate,
so... Yeah, it is very detailed, I would say so.
Okay, so you have to ask me some of the questions, but let me ask you one question. What was the first, to test your Nollywood knowledge, what was the first Nigerian movie made?
Oh my God.
This is horrible.
Can I have options?
No, I don't know it too, but... Okay, so I'm thinking that, you know, there was the era of cinema where people would actually go to the cinema to watch Nigerian movies, and then that sort of faded away to DVDs. Yes, but the movie that I can actually think of that may have been one of the first that comes to mind is actually Living in Bondage. It was the first Igbo, I think it was the first Igbo-produced Nigerian movie. I suspect it was, or it is.
You may be right. Something else was coming up in my mind, but I can't seem to remember the name. But you may be right, actually.
Okay.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
All
right. But I would love to know that. Definitely checking on that after this.
That's supposed to have been like the go-to.
Because apparently people think I know a lot about Nollywood right now, and people like... Something I like though is that sometimes when someone watches like a good movie or a bad movie or what
they reach out to you.
They reach out to me like, "Hey, have you seen this?" I'm like, "Not yet, but I will."
Interesting. But now you have to know, because like you brought out this Nolly trivia game, so it's like it's kind of be awkward if they ask you questions that you don't know.
Yeah, I should be like.
What was the first Nigerian movie to go on Netflix?
I'm sure it had Omoni Bully in it.
You think so?
I would think so,
I actually have the answer to this one.
Really? Is it Isoken?
No, it's not.
Like, it doesn't have her. Was it Wedding Party?
It wasn't Wedding Party. It was a Kunle Afolayan movie.
October 1st?
I think so. Let me see. Where is it? I had it up here, actually, funny enough. Oh, yeah. The first movie, but I think you know this one. What was the first, like, Netflix original Nigerian movie?
Citation.
No, it wasn't. It was Lionheart.
Really? Oh, Lionheart came before
Citation. Yeah, Lionheart came before Citation.
Not me failing all the Nollywood questions,
I don't even know what to say to you.
I wasn't prepared. I should have come prepared.
Yeah. It was 2014, and it was October 1. You got that right. Yeah. I remember, you know, I was privy to see this sort of new Nollywood come up. Mm-hmm. You know, there was EJ. I remember when that came up. Yeah. And they were so, they were not really accessible. Had to go. And I was in the US when it was happening. So all of those movies were coming to the cinema while we couldn't see it in diaspora. So I remember seeing the ads about October 1. This was in 2014, right? When October 1, and that was when I had just come. I was already seeing the ads, everything, while I was still in Nigeria before I moved to the US. So it was sort of really nice to actually finally get a chance to watch it, and then more and more kept coming out. But yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then so from when you started writing, you tested it out with a bunch of people. So what was the next step in the process?
Figuring out who would manufacture. So
did you do all the designs by yourself?
Yes, I did.
Wow, that's impressive.
I wanted to collaborate with a friend, my dear friend. She may be listening to this actually. I had no money to afford her. Mm, so yeah.
Fair point.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't have money to afford her, you could have sold her a steak. You weren't willing to sell a steak of your company.
We didn't get that deep, honestly. Yeah. It was just like,
Because I noticed that, at least I know what a lot of founders do, is when they can't pay people at the beginning, they actually sell a stake. And 10% could be $500, could be $5,000, could be $500,000. 10% stake is actually a lot if you believe in your business, because it's a lot. So if I was actually doing that, I probably will take a stake and maybe a small payment. I'll still take a payment, but I'll take a small stake, because if it turns out to be as big as Watts or as big as Monopoly, your whole generation is made. So I think that's something. But yeah, you have to be careful who you're giving stakes to.
And 10% sounds like a lot. So
10% is a lot. That's why I was like, no, definitely not 10%. 2%. 2% sounds fair.
Yeah.
2% is fair. 10%. But 10% means they're basically an owner. They're on retainer.
Yes.
They would continue to do all the graphics for all the different. Yeah, that's 10%. 10% can be for one job. You can't sell 10% of your company for one job.
No.
But yeah, you can.
I was just gonna say, so I ended up doing it myself. It wasn't so easy. It took a couple tries, and then like I said, I did see it, so it was just trying to visualize everything and make it exactly how I saw it, or similar to what I saw. So yeah.
And then you sent it out, and then what was that feeling like when you got the first batch of the...
Oh my god. I think I have a video of that day.
Really?
Yeah, I have a video of that. It was really wow, because it was exactly what I saw. It felt like what I thought it would feel like. And funny enough, that's not the manufacturer that we eventually went through with, but that was the first sample that I got, a company in the US, I believe. And yeah, it felt really great to see it, and I'm still as excited about the product like I was then, so that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
So where is the how was it getting your first order?
Wow. that was the day I launched, actually, and that felt really nice. That felt really nice. But honestly, my first order from a stranger is different from my first order
from your friends.
With a friend. So my first order from a stranger felt really, really special. I still know the person first name, last name. It sounds weird, but I do.
That's amazing.
I do.
That's amazing.
And I pray for the person.
Should I pray? That's the shit I pray for the person. No, I bet. You know, I think sometimes when we do things, like, it's so easy to see the immediate, like, your sort of friends support you. And so on my podcast sometimes, which is this podcast, like, I'll look at the views and how many plays that I've gotten,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be like, I definitely don't have as much friends as this. Like, actual people that are, like, vocal. So sometimes, like, I have this one friend who would, like, always, message me and be like, oh, you know, the podcast, I learned this, and I will just have a conversation about this. I wouldn't have, like, I remember this, an episode ago, we had uploaded something, and it wasn't working fine. Like, literally uploaded it, like, the second minute someone is texting me, I'm like, wait, so you're waiting for my no, it felt so good. Nice. It did feel good because I was like, nice. Dang, like, because the notification, once I uploaded, like, the notification came on my phone, so everyone who follows must have gotten the notification as well. That's, and then she clicked it instantly to play, and that was when I discovered, oh, okay, so I need to go and fix this episode. But that was really, mm-hmm. that was really rewarding. So I know how you feel when, like, strangers, like, people that you don't expect, actually, like, love the work that, mm-hmm. that you put forward. You know yeah. what? We missed a very important part, is where we say how we know each other.
That's true.
So I'm going to let you go, and then I'll go this one time. So how do we know each other, Tolu?
I've known Ricky since, honestly, I'm not sure if it was nursery school or primary school, but I know
it was primary school.
Okay. So we did go to the same primary school. We were in same sets. I'm not sure if we're in same class all through, but
we were in
I'm
same class sure sometimes because it was like, well, 5 years of primary school, yeah.
Yeah. And then we also went to the same secondary school together. So that's how I knew Ricky.
What was your impression of me in primary school, secondary school, and later on?
Impression of you, primary school, smart. I don't think I knew more than that. I'm not sure. Secondary school, smart. you were nice all through secondary school.
I wasn't nice to everybody. I don't think I was nice to everybody. No, I don't think I was nice to everybody. I don't think a lot of people liked me, but, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You were nice.
Well, I thought I was nice to you because I liked you and, you know, you were cool. You didn't...
Yeah. I think we got along fine.
Yeah.
I think so. And now, still nice. Probably still very smart.
Okay, so nice and smart. That's fair.
Yes.
At least that's not bad. So, like you said, I knew you from primary school. Which is so weird that, like, we're still in contact. Like, there's not many people from primary school that I'm actually in contact with. So, but yeah, in primary school, what impression did I have of you? I just thought that you were... you minded your business a lot. And that's the same thing in secondary school. And then you also kept your circle small. Like, you went, like, you didn't have a lot of circle, like, a lot of people in your circle. You weren't, like, loud. You just sort of minded your business and, like, were very peaceful and nice. And, yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Peaceful. Nice.
I thought you were peaceful. Were you?
Oh, I would like to think so, even though there are some things from secondary school that right now I cringe about.
Like, but... what? Tell me.
Probably situations that I could have been nicer, situations I could have been, I could have acted differently. Right off top of my head, I don't think I have, like, specific examples, but I know that I definitely could have been nicer.
I think you have some, but you're hiding it from us.
No, not really, actually, because I don't think I bullied anyone, or... I don't know.
What do you think about bullying in secondary schools, though? Like,
horrible, absolutely horrible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like kids are really mean sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so unfortunate that people go through life based on a lot of things that happen to them at that age in primary school and secondary school. Yeah. Like, you know, maybe they're told that they're not, like, I think I said things I shouldn't have said, you know, because mm-hmm. I was like, I had no filter, like I was just blunt, and I don't know, I hope that, you know, doesn't affect anybody, like
horribly, everyone right now,
but you know, obviously you yeah. never know these things, you can never know, but mm-hmm. but yeah, I think it's sad, and I think that there was just something about it. It's like secondary school is like a social experiment.
It is really. It is. Boarding school
is a social experiment because you put a bunch of hormonal teenagers, right? Put them together, and then all of a sudden, classes exist. Like, when literally they're all supposed to be, especially even when you're wearing the same uniform. But you just know that guy that wears Air Jordans instead of Skechers. So, you know, so classes will always come out. The mean people versus the nice people. The ones that get picked on versus the ones that don't get picked on. And it's just wild. And I think there's a lot of, like, what it was then was, like, if you were a bully, maybe you were seen to be, like, stronger. If you yes. insulted people a lot, you know, you could roast people. You were seen to be, like, more popular. And I just think niceness wasn't really a virtue that was espoused, like, back then. And I remember a point in my life where I was like, I just want to be known as a kind person. That was a personal decision I made. And I remember the first time someone described me as kind, like, I almost cried. Because I really wanted to just be kind and show kindness. And I think that's not something we really cared about, unfortunately, in secondary school. Like, it was about who could have one up, who could insult the other person, you know, who could stand up for themselves. But things like kindness, love, like, those things were not really celebrated. And I feel like they should be. But yeah. And then after that, I followed you on social media, and I would just see ourselves. And I always just sort of saw you as, like, really resourceful, because at least I've seen the hair. No, I didn't see the hair business, I didn't see the food, but I saw the clothing business. I've seen like Roots brand. So I'm like, wow, this person is, like, really going, because it's not trivial to actually come up with an idea, to work on the idea, to get the physical, like, representation of the idea, and then to begin to make sales, and then to begin to make content.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's actually a lot. So kudos to that. Like, great job. So if there's anyone that's, like, listening that has, like, ideas, like, Tolu is definitely the person to, like, reach out to. At least I can confirm that she's really nice and kind. So reach out to her and, you know, check out Roots. I think it's Roots the brand. Roots the brand on Instagram and www.shoproots.net. So let's try and play the game if you can.
Okay. Sure. Let me pull that up. Okay.
So I hope I'm still smart.
I'm sure you are. Let's start off easy, actually.
Okay, so let's start off easy.
Yeah. Wedding Party 2, directed by Nii Akimolayo, was shot in Lagos and what other location?
Ooh.
A, Santorini.
Oh, I know this, Dubai. B,
yes, of course. So
that is easy.
That is easy. This one's probably easy.
No, just say it, because someone might be listening and, like, oh, I want to know this.
Okay. Lionheart, the 2018 film directed by Genevieve Nnaji, focuses on saving a family business from debt. The Obiagus ran what kind of business?
A transport company.
You're right. Sylvia.
I've seen Sylvia, yeah.
Okay. The 2018 thriller produced by Trino Motion Pictures highlights this flower in a mysterious way.
Hibiscus.
A, red rose.
Let's keep going. I like this.
Okay. Head to head in rivalry. These two women played Bernice and Rhyme in the popular movie Beyonce and Rihanna, directed by Afam
Omotola and Nadia Bari. Like,
Yes, wow.
That's a classic.
That is a classic.
That's a classic.
The popular line, we're nothing but pencils in the hands of the creators. Super story. Yes. list three actors with Uche as their first name.
Uche Jumbo.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Uche Naji?
I'm not sure. Mm. There's not something, not G though.
Uche. Oh man, I can't think. Is that Uche? There's this blogger that says nonsense all the time. Uche, is it Uche Maduka or something like that? Isn't he like a Nollywood actor?
I'm pretty sure
he is, though. He says nonsense all the time, and he's a blogger.
okay,
but
let's give you that one more.
I don't know.
There's Uche Obodo.
Oh, I know her.
Yeah. There's Uche Nancy. There's Uche Nana. There's Uche Odoputa. There's Uche Elendu. There's actually
I don't know those ones. They seem like the extras in the King's Palace, you know, those
Nigerians. Some of them. Some of them. The song I Go Chop Your Dollar was sung by this actor. Yes. Okay. How much more do you want?
Let's do four more. Four difficult ones so that we don't give all the game, all the cards again. Yeah, let's do difficult ones. Have these been the easy ones?
Yeah.
Oh no. Okay, let's get to difficult ones.
Okay. Which of these actors are not related? So A, Funke Akindele Bello and Seun Akindele. B, Yol Edoche and Pete Edoche. C, Femi Adebayo Salami and Olga Bello. D, Kunle Afolayan and Gabriel Afolayan.
Funke and Seun.
Yes, actually. Which of these series is not produced by Rock Studios?
Okay.
A, The African Couple. B, Losing Control. C, Sons of Caliphate.
Oh, Sons of Caliphate is Ebony Live TV.
Yes. Okay, which other one should I ask you? Okay, which of these is not an Indani TV series?
Mm.
This is probably easy. A, Phases. B, Game On. C, Skinny Girl in Transit. D, Papa Benji.
Papa Benji is Basket Mouth, so it's not Indani TV.
Yeah.
I'm actually a Nollywood buff. Like, I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, really.
Okay, one more. This is fun, actually. Oh my God, I can't wait to get this game.
this is easy. Yikes. Okay, last one. This legendary singer was once a judge on X Factor in Nigeria and is popularly known for her role in the 2005 movie Rising Moon.
Give me options.
No options.
Okay, what's the question again?
This legendary singer was once a judge on X Factor in Nigeria and is popularly known.
Onye Kanwenu.
Yes.
Wow.
Perfect. Well, you got all
most of them. I didn't get the Uche one, but most of them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm proud of myself.
Yes, I'm proud of you.
And it's so weird how much I know about Nollywood because you don't know, like, you've been knowing these things, but you don't know. So, and then we have the couples game that you have. We can take some questions, right? But before we go into...
I actually don't have that one.
Oh, you don't have it here. Okay, no, cool. No, then we'll just have to order it from the website. So if you're a couple...
Yes.
Tell us about the game, though. What was the idea behind the game?
Fun time, but with deep questions at the same time. So it's
then that's not fun. That's not fun because now you start unearthing different things, and then...
it's meant to be a balance. And I promise it's a fun.
So
time.
Were you in like a relationship and you couldn't get the person to talk, so you decided to create a game?
Oh no. But it's honestly great, and I promise it's a fun.
Have you
time.
Gotten reviews like good reviews?
Yes. Just a few so far.
I hope you don't get any your game made us break up because we realized that we're not compatible. Do you worry about that? Like, you're probably, your game, well, they're probably going to be like, oh, so what are your deepest fears? And then someone will say it, and then someone will end up like getting angry and leaving. And then they were fine until they played your game.
I feel like you should not be afraid to ask the hard questions or have difficult conversations. Like, if that's a problem, then you're probably not meant to be together in the first place.
And it has nothing to do with your game.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true. So your game may actually be doing the Lord's work.
Right.
Yeah, right. Because some of the stories that we hear these days, you're just like, did you all talk? Like, did you guys talk at all during the...
At all, right?
So this is like a way to lay back and actually have deep conversations, but in a fun way.
Mm-hmm. Have fun at the same time,
I like it a lot. So talking about... So the next thing that I wanted to kind of talk about was like Nigerian movies and the industry. What do you think about Sylvia?
Interesting.
Because the movie was like spiritual...
It was. It was kind of weird at the same time. Yeah. I liked it. It was a little bit, not really my thing, but I watched it and I liked it. My sister loved it, surprisingly. And she's not that much of a Nollywood fan, but she loved it. Yeah. So, it was okay.
It's sort of like a dark movie. It's not something that I would really watch. I watched it with friends. But here's what I think. I think that the guy was the reason. He was the cause. Because initially when he was a child, right, he didn't, and again, spoiler alert. So if you haven't watched Sylvia and you want to watch it, just skip a few seconds until we're done talking about it.
Yeah.
But I think the guy was at fault because at the beginning he didn't really know that this was a spiritual attack, this was something going on. But even when he knew, he went back because he wanted help. So I'm just like,
right.
Sometimes it's so clear to see, like, it was so clear for me to see why he was in that situation, because he knew that he shouldn't go back, but he was thinking about himself. And he opened, because he had closed the door for her. Like, she didn't have a way into his life until he went back. And yeah, so I was just like, this thing happened to this guy just because he was like, he wanted the quick way out. You know, all your life you have this spirit telling you what to do and they are not God. Hey. Very red flag. And then she now told you, when your mom was sick, she told you what to do to give to your mom. And everything else had been working except this. And you couldn't even place... No, that's... Yeah, that movie was it was deep, because so many people are going through that. I don't know about so many people, but I'm sure that it's not a fiction thing. I think there are people that actually probably going through that, and you never know. Like, you see people dressed up on the street and they seem normal, but you don't know who is letting who into their dreams and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And when she now started like manifesting in the real world, I was like, but have you watched The Governor?
No, I haven't.
What? It's on Amazon Prime, and I think it's also on Netflix.
Oh, really?
It's a political TV show.
Is it on Netflix?
I believe it's on Netflix, but it's also on Amazon Prime. If you have Amazon Prime, Prime Video.
Okay.
The Governor. It's so good. Like, it's about this lady who becomes the governor of a state, Savannah State or something like that, in Nigeria, and then all the stress that she has to go through being a woman who's a governor, everything like that. Is really, really, really good. I recommend it. It's one of the best TV shows, like, period. And not just like, I think it's a really good TV show, and it's not even about for Nigerian movie. It's just good in general.
Nice.
And Danny TV shows. What do you think about Danny TV shows? Are they doing well? Are they not?
Yes, I would say that they are doing well. Skinny Girl in Transit seems to be like the
most
loved so
far. Did you like it?
I did.
I like that it was Skinny Girl in Transit, and I like that she actually did lose weight.
Yeah, she did.
She actually did, like, was on her way to being skinny. I don't know that I like what's his face.
Ayola,
yeah. Mide. I don't like Mide.
Oh my god, rookie!
I don't like Mide. I don't like Mide for the same reason I don't like Aminu from the men's club. Do you want the men's club?
I love looking at that.
You said I love looking at him. He's in Houston, in case you're interested. With his wife.
Yes.
He's married. So you better not be interested.
No, not interested. I love seeing him on screen, and there's just something about
there's
him.
There's nothing about him. Like, the guy, he's so annoying to me. Like, he's so controlling.
Okay, true. He is quite controlling.
Like,
yeah.
Think about it. Let's just be very honest. Mm-hmm. Aminu and what's her name? What's the girl's name? Aminu and Tumini, have they had any real conversation in this life?
Probably not.
What does he just do? Just love bombs her, gives her, takes her on expensive trips, you know, tries to, show off his money. Like, that's all this guy does. Like, he's not emotionally available. I don't know why people are like, he's not. And if a man can treat his baby mama, Jasmine, that way, just think about you, his wife, when you do something wrong.
Wife, right.
Or girlfriend to be. And think about when he thought that Tumini was cheating on him. See the way he dumped her, treated her badly. What kind of person is he? Like, I don't know why people don't read between the lines. Like, this guy is not a good guy.
Well, what's his name? Aminu is different from Mide. Do you think Mide was that possessive?
Mide was not that possessive, but Mide had baggage for days.
Also kind of arrogant.
Mide was also arrogant because she didn't even like him at first. Mide was arrogant. True. Mide likes things his way. And I don't think him and Tiwa are going to survive. Personally speaking, like, because Tiwa also is very strongly opinionated and she wants a certain kind of person that can understand her. And I feel like Mide was pretending all along. Like, he's like being a nice guy, but I don't think he's being his true self. Yeah. I just hope they do a reboot or they bring it back or something. And we'll see. But I think it was engaging. Giddy Up was my best, actually.
Nice one too.
I don't know what happened to that. They were supposed to bring out more episodes.
Same way I think Skinny Girl in Transit is over. But
I think he's over because now he's no longer in Nigeria, and they even had to replace him in the men's club. They had to replace him in the men's club with Perry. I think that's gonna be fun. And then one last question or so. What do you think about village movies, like the village Nigerian movies?
Oh my god. Okay, so I like some of them, and funny enough, if I'm like in a place where I feel stressed, then I want to watch something. That's usually my
favorite.
Yes, but like not the bad ones, the somewhat good ones, right? Because there's just something about the soundtracks, there's something about how clean they are, how you can always tell the end.
Yes, there's an element of that.
That it just gives me comfort in some way. I really like those movies. People like to dog them out, but that's my jam.
I agree. I think to an extent, it's just. There's one thing I like when I watch movies or whatever. It's like, I like it to be predictable. Like, I don't want to be thinking too hard how the ending is going to happen. Like, I've already had a stressful day. Life is already busy as it is. Like, I'm happy to know the end of the story. And something I used to hear when I was younger was that, Nigerian movies are predictable, but so are American movies. They are super predictable. I so I feel like people should give Nigerian movies more of a chance. I love the village movies, actually. I love them too because they have some of, at least the older ones, they have depth. And something something I think we were even talking about before was the fact that now you have the newer movies that are coming out on Netflix that are sort of polished, better production, better makeup, all of that, but they're just devoid of any reasonable storyline. And there's so many, there's so many of them. So what do you think is the problem? I mean, of course, you don't really can't say anything. You can't say too much because you're not like in the industry. But what do you think is really the problem? Yeah.
I think they have a bias. Like, when they think about putting movies on Netflix, they think they're reaching a crowd that wants polished stuff. They think they're reaching a crowd that's probably mostly in the diaspora. I think they're reaching a crowd that probably can afford Netflix. So, and not all movies strictly go on Netflix. Some reach the cinemas first and then go on Netflix. But still people that pay to see the movies, right? So they're trying to reach standards that they think we expect, and they and they lose focus on the plots and sometimes the story and where it should be going, and they heavily invest in how it looks, who is in it, who drives more buzz, who brings more people more to the cinemas. So I guess that's the problem.
I agree. And I think that sometimes another problem too I realized is like, If you write a really good script, who is going to produce it? Like, if you write a really good script, who's going to produce it? Because I think people are writing good scripts all the time, but they don't convert. They don't sell. What's selling out in the cinemas? Things like Merry Men, Alakada Reloaded, Omogeto the Saga. So let's just say that, you know, the country is going through a lot. People are sad. They rather laugh.
And looking for ways to laugh.
They rather laugh than actually consider a plot. And it's not to say that Nigerians are simple-minded, but I think that, in a sense, they want something that is easy and just fed to them.
I agree.
Which brings me to King of Boys Part 2. What did you think about it?
Great. And after watching like the behind the scenes and the planning towards King of Boys, I think it's on Netflix. It's called
The Making of the King. I watched it too,
It really made me appreciate the work the that goes in production more. I loved it, and I'm happy that it was received well because they did put a lot of work to it.
Did you understand your Yoruba right?
So the
proverbs definitely hit.
Wow. And I'm a new learner of the language. I didn't grow up really speaking or understanding well. So I decided to learn intentionally a couple years ago, maybe like 5 years ago. So I started watching Yoruba movies to learn, and that's really how I learned.
Are you conversational?
Yes, 100%.
Wow. So like watching Yoruba movies actually made you...
Because
you could pick up some of it, right? You could understand a little bit before you...
Yes. Because, I mean, my parents used to speak it, but we didn't really grow up speaking it as much. So that's how I really learned, and really now I can say I can fully speak.
So who do you speak with?
So, no one. But maybe my parents once in a while, but it's still not like the first language to pop out of my mouth, like imagine. When I speak with them. I do have some Yoruba friends.
That's interesting. I wish my language, I'm Urobo, and that's my language, and I wish we had more movies. We used to have like a bustling, you know, sort of coming up Urobo language, because I remember my grandma, my dad would buy like cassettes and like CDs of those Urobo movies for her, and she would watch, and we would also watch, and we like I understand it, but I just can't speak, because I never spoke. I would always reply my parents in English, and they would speak, you know, the language. So that was I just think a lot of people didn't really invest in it, and people didn't really buy the movies. So after a while, they just stopped coming. I think they still make some, but I don't think it's very much anymore. So it's actually a really like amazing privilege to be able to watch all those movies and learn. But I thought about something to sort of close us out.
Yeah.
what if we made a Nigerian movie now? Like, what if we wrote, what if we designed a story and formed actors who would act it? Like, we come up with the plot. Would act it?
Okay. That's
but cool. We have to think about something that will sell, Sha. Like, something that will sell out in the cinemas. Okay. And be on Netflix.
Oh, wow.
So we can't go too deep with the storyline.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We can take a risk. So I thought that we would start the story and then we would add different fragments and we'll choose who the supporting actor would be, supporting actress, and all that and all that. And it can be like a runoff of a TV show that or a movie that's currently out.
Okay. I'll let you go first. Yeah,
I was trying to let you go first. Okay, so I'm thinking Americana.
Oh, okay. Which I heard that they are turning that
into. Yeah, Lupita Nyong'o is trying to play it.
I'm like, no. Bring someone that reminds us
I don't know if, but I think Toni Tones may be able to play it, but she's not Ifemelu. No, she's but not Ifemelu. She'll be one of she'll be one of Ifemelu's friends. Is it Rapu? Rapu? What's her name?
Yeah,
I think she'll be that one.
Yeah, and also the character started off quite young, so
it's true. You need
there obviously has to be like a teenager Ifemelu before the grown up Ifem. So
let's do a story about I Just Got Back and IJGB.
Okay, I just got back.
So
okay, girl or the
guy? Girl.
Girl. Yeah. Okay.
So she left London. We should use London, right? Let's use America. She's pro Black Lives Matter. She went to school in DC. Studied African American studies.
Okay.
She also a feminist. And then she had an African American boyfriend. Okay. But then decided that he didn't really understand her and she wanted to connect with her roots. If we have such a huge budget, she could be Issa Rae. If not, she could be Yvonne Orji.
I thought this was a Nollywood movie.
It's a Nollywood movie. We just have a we have a really huge budget. So let's go with Yvonne Orji. Let's go with Yvonne Orji. We can afford Yvonne. It's Nollywood, right? Come on, in 93 days we had Donald Glover. In 93 days.
Okay.
This wouldn't be the first time that an African American actor is acting.
African American.
Okay, so I've already created the past. So now she comes back because she decides to connect with her roots.
Mm-hmm.
What next? What happens next?
So she leaves her boyfriend.
Yeah, she leaves her boyfriend. She packs up her apartment. Her credit is bad. And she decides that it's true, her credit is bad. She decides that she would rather make it in Nigeria. Because now there's this sort of going back to your roots movement that's happening in Ghana and Nigeria at the same time. Mm-hmm. So she goes for Dirty December. She first of all goes to Ghana. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's where she actually breaks up with the boyfriend. They both go to Dirty December.
In Ghana. Oh, so they both.
I'm changing the story. Yeah, they both. No. They're together, right? But she's becoming uncomfortable with America. The race issue is too much. Mm. She's also has this Nigerian heritage, but she's also Black, right? So now they decide that it's Dirty December, and then she's going to Ghana for a visit with her boyfriend.
Okay. So she goes.
Yeah, and then they break up there.
So she goes and then they break up there. So does she go to Nigeria?
Yeah, she goes
point?
Straight to Nigeria while he comes back to the US.
Okay. And do her parents live in Nigeria?
Her parents live in the US.
Oh, so she's going to start a
whole new
life.
Right, and they're all worried about her.
Wow. Does she have a place to stay?
She does. She has an auntie. Auntie Choma that lives in Festac.
Wow, she probably hates it.
Yeah, she thought Festac is something else until she gets to Festac.
Okay. Is she searching for something, or she just wants to experience home for a while?
She's searching for parties. Right, so while she's in Ghana, she actually meets some friends, and then they get to Nigeria, and they're staying in VI, in a nice hotel in VI, and she's with those friends, and they're just kind of, you know, taking care of her because she just left this tough relationship, and she's sort of fitting into Nigeria, so she's still with the IJGBs, and then January 5th hits, and everybody goes back.
They leave.
But she stays. But she planned to stay. So now she can't afford this hotel. She has to go and live with Auntie Choma in Festac.
And she probably starts working as a waitress in KFC.
No, waitress is too small. She can't take it. No, mind you, she has 2 months so she doesn't have a job, and Auntie Choma is tired of her. Yeah, she has is an accent. She doesn't have money. She doesn't have a job.
She applies to be an OAP.
But they don't like her American accent, so they tell her to fake a British one.
Oh my gosh, she's having a
very hard time. But then, in the midst of that, she meets a Lagos billionaire. Let's call him Femi. He's in the tech space.
Okay.
I'm coming up with this story by myself. Now you need to add something.
Femi is a fraud.
No, see, her life can't get any worse.
Femi is a fraud, and the true love of her life is probably a neighbor.
The neighbor who is an online MBA student in one university in America.
Okay. That sounds
He has a phone handy. Repair shop. Not much really going for him.
Okay. He has a very nosy mom.
He has a nosy mom that does not like her.
Yeah.
Because the mom feels like she's not good at doing house chores. She's not wife material. Yeah. And her accent too does not really help her. She can't cook.
She thinks about going back a lot, but she knows that she probably has to stay in Nigeria.
Yeah, she's trying to prove a point that she can make it.
Yes. And I hope she eventually does.
It's not looking like it. Let's give her 12 years. I'm kidding. But so what actually brings it together? So I don't know how she's going to come out of this pit that she's in. She has no money. She has no friends. Her neighbor likes her, and that's the only true guy. Femi was a fraud, and Femi was a Yahoo boy. He stole her identity and used it for fraud, and she got arrested.
Wow.
She got arrested, and then she had to explain that it wasn't her, so they released her 2 days later. But she slept in cell. Wow. And while she was in cell, she met someone there. Like, you know, they're crazy characters, but Tony Abraham was one of them that she met in the cell. I think that's all I've got. I have to think about how to dig her out of this mess.
Hopefully she comes on the business with her boyfriend, the phone repair shop, and then they make something.
Yeah, it's not looking like that. I think she applies. I think she applies for a bank job in GTB Bank.
Okay.
Then from there she starts climbing. Maybe that'll be the way out. But yeah, we're well on our way to making our first Nigerian movie, Tolu. But thank you for coming. This has actually been fun. It's been an amazing conversation. Yeah, support Roots the brand on Instagram and www.shoproots.net. Buy the couple games, buy the cards, buy the merch, and buy Nolly, the Nolly trivia, and see if you can beat me, because I'm probably the best player at this point. but I always like to leave something inspiring. So what would you say to someone who has a vision or who has a dream of something they want to bring? Of course, you know from your experiences, what would you say to someone like that that has an idea that they would like to, you know, bring out?
Mm-hmm. I would say start now. Don't push it out longer. And I would say, even if that doesn't bring you success in your terms of whatever success may be for you, it will definitely teach you something. Because sometimes we go through things thinking of one outcome, but when we experience them, different things happen and we learn so much about what we have done or about ourselves sometimes. So, and what else will I say? Pray about it. And start soon, start now, and be thankful for every progress that you make.
Really, really good advice. Thank you so much for thanks so much for that too. Yeah, so follow your dreams, be bold to go about it. And one thing I'm super excited about for Roots is the fact that I can just see so much coming from it. And if you hadn't taken that one step to actually do it, like, you know, now we have the couples game, you have the cards, like, I can even see more games or, you know, maybe a movie, right, coming out very soon, right? With me as the executive producer and the writer and the director. But but yeah, thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed this, and we hope you come back again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so everyone, remember to share this, tag us, tell us what you're thinking. My Instagram handle is @thisrookie on Instagram. So yeah, let me know what you're thinking. Leave us a rating, leave a comment, and, you know, share this once more. Keep sharing it and leave a rating, because those ratings matter. Thank you so much for listening, and until I come your way again. Bye.